Love is a many splendored thing. It's the April rose that only grows in the early spring. Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. The golden crown that makes a man a king. Once on a high and windy hill, in the morning mist, two lovers kissed, and the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendored thing. Touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendored thing.
No matter how far we go in the faith, you agree with me that there are certain times that we have to still look back at the very foundation from where we started to build. There are certain times that we have to look at the very elementary things of the faith. There are certain things that we have to, you know, put in, or let's say, put in remembrance, in meditation. Because these are the things that will strengthen us and keep us along the way. Now, I know of many, many people, many brethren, many friends, who got, you know, entangled one way or the other with some kind of situation out there. It could be in a marital affair, it could be some kind of crime, a financial, you know, problem. It could be an extended family problem, it could be a health problem. See, it could be a habit. And these things have kind of weighed them down in the faith, so that they were unable to progress into that thing that the Lord Jesus has prepared for all of us. I myself have gone through many, many ups and downs. Ups and downs that, you know, that I've come to the place where I appreciate that it's the grace of God that keeps a man going on this journey. See, power and might cannot prevail, you know, in the faith that we walk in. It's just simply grace and love. When the children of Israel, you know, were traveling from Egypt to the promised land, of course we know what happened. It took them 40 years but he took them 40 years because of their own belief. See, if they had obeyed the Lord, if they had believed in the Lord, they would have probably been in the land of Israel, you know, within 3 months of their departure from Egypt. So unbelief was what caused them to go round and round in circles. See, it was the Egypt in them, the seed of Egypt in them, that caused them to go through that 40 years in the wilderness. See, and a lot of them fell in the wilderness, and a lot of them were able to make it into the promised land. Brethren, that is not our portion. See, that is not our portion. And you see, the Lord made a provision for the children of Israel in the wilderness. God instructed Moses to place a rod, a pole, in the midst of the Israelites, and he hung a serpent, a bronze serpent, on this pole. You see, they passed through a period where they had these snake bites, a lot of snake bites, where they encountered ferocious, poisonous snakes, very dangerous snakes. And whenever these snakes would bite them, it meant instant death, but God gave a provision for them that they should look up to that bronze serpent on the cross and they will be healed. Praise God. Now this thing applies to us today who are progressing into the promised land, who are progressing into God's kingdom, who are progressing into the fullness of Christ. Praise God. There is this provision that is out there for us, and it's just left for us to look at that provision and meditate on that provision day and night, so that these serpent bites will not kill us. Now, of course, the serpent that bites us today all starts from this carnal mind here. Starts from here. That is the mind that, you know, seeks to convince you that you are a sinner. That seeks to convince you that God has left you. That seeks to convince you that it is no good. See, it brings depression into your heart, heaviness. And it tries to cause you to turn away from the things of God. See, many people have received these snake bites, a guilty conscience. See, when you have guilt, that is the snake. That is the serpent mind. When you have this sense of unworthiness, that is the serpent mind deceiving you. When that thought comes into you that you can't make it, that you are worthless, let's forget the faith, that is the serpent mind. See, and the poison goes deep into the spirit, into the soul, into the soil, into your bloodstream, and it kills you gradually. See, it will die when we lose knowledge of Christ. We die when we go back to living that life in the flesh. Many people fall, and many are unable to rise again because they've forgotten to look at the cross. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You see, but the king's horses and the king's men, that is of the kingdom, is here to put us together again if we can just sit back and listen to the voice of the Spirit. Sit back and understand the communication of the Spirit to us. See, God so loved the world that he has given us his begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, as Moses hung that pole in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be hanged, so that all men might see him, believe on him, and be saved. In other words, every sin that we've committed, every shortcoming in our lives. Whether it be your hot temper, whether it be some kind of a sense of pride in you, whether it be your lustful nature, lustful characters, bad habits, those things have been treated on the cross. See, so that if we can get this revelation, we can understand that God is not in the business of trying to look at your sin or searching at your sin. That is not God. He's not in the business of finding out what you did yesterday or what you did, you know, last night and whatever. He's not somewhere behind some door peeping and watching you, beaming his searchlight into your life to check out for sins. He has settled your sins. Your sins are forgiven you. So we must get this revelation, otherwise that guilt and condemnation comes in subtly like poison and it ruins us. Where there is sin consciousness, there is death. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, through the knowledge of Christ, through the revelation of Christ, through the mystery of the cross, is eternal life. We can enter back into a realm of absolute freedom, freedom from guilt, freedom from that tormenting feeling that somehow you are unworthy of the glory of God. See, it is guilt that drives a man away from God's presence. See, it is a sense of worthiness that caused Adam to run away from God's presence. It is the sense of guilt and fear in Adam that caused Adam to create a God, to invent a God unto himself. Is it a God that started to curse him? You know, when the Bible says that the Lord says, "Curse thou shalt thou be, thorns and thistles shall you yield," that is not God. That is a formation in Adam's mind, because God is love, and in God there is no turning, no changing. See, a man changes one moment a man says this next moment is another way, but with God it is not so. God does not change. See, he's unchangeable. He's love and innocence. Now those of you who have a chance to have a glimpse of the presence and of God and the spirit realm, the first thing you begin to observe about God's nature is that God is love. God is free love. He does not condemn. See, he does not look out for sin. There's no such thing as sin in the eyes of God. Sin is something that we form for ourselves in our heart. Praise God. So there are certain principles we must realize as we begin to look at that cross. Look and meditate on the workings of the cross. Praise God. This is the only way we can stand as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, Paul defines this age as an evil age, the realm of the flesh. So along the way you meet all kind of obstacles, and it's only as you walk in the revelation of the grace of God that you can have wings of an eagle to fly over these situations. Praise God. The first thing you must remember, we all must remember as we look onto the cross, is that God first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Now, we are seeing the nature of God here. God first loved us. See it? John says, God in Christ Jesus reconciling unto himself the whole world. Not minding, you know, their shortcomings. See, not keeping in account, see, their sins. He does not keep in account sins of a man or what you do and all that. God is not aware of those kind of things. He's simply here to reconcile us unto himself. No matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times that bad habit gets a hold on you, no matter how many times you feel inadequate in yourself, realize that the love of God is always there at your doorstep with open arms, reconciling you unto himself, reconciling you unto his glory, reconciling you unto his, the totality of the life, that eternal life that is in him. God in Christ reconciling his, you know, the world unto himself, not keeping a, you know, an account of their trespasses. He's not aware of your trespasses, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. He never leaves us. When we begin to feel God has left us, when we begin to feel, you know, some kind of dryness in our spiritual life, know for sure that is the lie of the devil. It is the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of a hardened heart. The heart is deceitful. See it. A veiled heart hides the reality of the nature of God from humanity. See, all to this very day, we are all seeking to kind of appease God. We are all seeking to kind of, you know, sacrifice unto him, to please him and something like that, to appease him so that he doesn't get angry, so that he doesn't punish us, so that he doesn't strike us with a cancer, so that he doesn't, you know, strike us with accidents, with disaster in the families and all of that. So we always think that somehow God, you know, rewards those people who do sin, who do bad, and he rewards, you know, according to their evil, and he rewards the good people according to their good. But this is a veiled version of God. This is the perception, the deceitfulness that the heart propagates to men. See, but now we must have a clear vision of the love of God. We must have a clear vision of that open door into his presence. The open door into his presence is never shut. Never ever shut. It can only be shut in our minds. It can only be shut as our hearts are veiled through the deceitfulness of sin. Praise God. The revelation of Christ tears the veil that has separated us from God. See, once you have a revelation of the love of Christ, in meditation of the workings of the cross, you will discover that there is never a veil. There was actually never a veil in that holies, you know, between the holies of holies and the holies of the temple of God. See it. That veil was only in our minds. See, that veil was only in our minds. God never, ever, ever hid himself from us. It was simply a function of the deceitfulness of our hearts. So this thing calls for boldness. See, it calls for, you know, recognition of the grace that we have through the revelation in the name of Christ. It's grace and grace all the way. Grace unto life. Grace unto edification. See, so we should never be discouraged. Let us not turn back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Grace kept me even in moments when I thought God had left me. Grace kept me when I, you know, strayed away for years thinking I probably had disappointed God. See, when I felt in my heart that, you know, there's no way I could probably make it back. After all that God had revealed to me, after all the love that God had showered upon me, that I still disappointed God the way I did. You know, anywhere I went, God kept on encouraging me. See, when I was deep down there, if I walked into a church where I knew nobody, the prophets there would prophesy that the Lord had called me He had revealed himself to me. I'm a light to many generations. Anywhere I went, he always spoke to me. See, the presence and the love of God never fails. See, God never abandons his people. God never turns his back on his people. God is love. And we must recognize that that love is always at our doorsteps. Even in our lowest moments, when everything seems haywire, God is there. Oh, praise God. It's marvelous when you think of it. Hallelujah. God is love. And that is the love that is reconciling the whole world unto itself today. That is the love that heals. That is the love that is able to lift us up out of the miry clay. Lift us up out of the pit of destruction. Lift us up out of the pit of condemnation. Praise God. That is love working. God is love. That is the nature of God. God is love. See it. He has separated our sins as the east is far from the west and the north from the south. In the hemisphere, in the skies, in the heavens. So has he separated our sins away from us. Meaning that infinite. You know, the east from the west is infinite. That is how God has separated our sins from us. Meaning that God is not aware of our sins. See, we are only trapped in this, you know, that sensation that we are sinners. It's all in our hearts. But God never ever comes down to look at anybody or to, you know, or to strike anybody or to curse anybody. It's all a function of this God of this world, which is our mind. See, what is our the carnal mind, the serpent mind, accusing you day and night, injecting venom in your heart day and night. See, but the way we can overcome this dragon, this serpent, is in our confession. It's in our recognition of this free grace that God has given unto us today. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to play religion, if you want to play church, if you want to play it according to the rules of tithes, see, according to the rules of, you know, religious ordinances, then we forsake the grace of God. It's because God is free love. All that God requires of every man is that every man recognizes the truth about God and ourselves in Him, and be saved therein. That is God. Now, if you want to begin to impose laws, church religion, church doctrines on people, you simply reject that grace, that free gift of God unto life. See it. The only provision is just that we believe. Believe in that original model. Believe in the revelation of Christ today and be saved therein. That's all. Praise God. Now let's quickly go back to the book of 1 John. Let's reflect now. John, the Apostle John, is one brother who had a deep insight into the mystery of Christ. See, he hit the nail on the head. See it. He actually pointed to the thing that matters most in the faith. This is a chapter that talks about love. See, it's a chapter that concentrates on love. Because love is the end of the matter. Prophecy sees, big revelation sees. See it. And many of these things that we do as men all cease with time. But there is only one thing that remains, and that is the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ, who is love. That is the only thing that is remaining. Love is the end of the faith. Because God is love. When the brethren are finally united, are built up in love, then God is seen functioning in us. Because therein lies the power, therein lies the faith, therein lies the healing, therein lies everything that God is. Love, it's all summarized in that word called love. Praise God. Love is a wonderful thing. Love is the fullness of all that we preach. Let us turn to, like I said, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleansed us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Praise God. Now, before I move on, I want us to first of all try to define sin, the root meaning of sin. Because many of these things we see, the ills we see in the world today, unrighteousness and all that, are simply fruits of sin. See, but sin itself, in the eyes of God, sin itself is transgression against Christ. Now, Christ is a person. Christ is a person. Christ is a state of being. Christ represents the image, the original image of every man. See, and in the eyes of God, transgression is living a life outside of Christ. See, when God placed Adam in the Eden, in the Garden of Eden, his charge to Adam was, keep the garden. Do not eat of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but rather eat from the knowledge of the tree of the of life. See, the tree of life is Christ. The garden state represents Christ. God was simply speaking, you know, in a celestial language, telling Adam to keep himself in Christ. Keep yourself in the image and in the likeness of God, which is a purely spiritual image. Keep yourself in the spirit. See it. Keep yourself in my image. Walk as I walk. That is God's charge to every man. See, but Adam, like we know, got influenced by the serpent below, which is the carnal mind, and he started to live after the outer. He started to live according to the flesh, and neglecting the inner man, which is God, which is Christ in you. You see, the law is fulfilled in Christ. Jesus Christ made a statement when he first came. He said, I have not come to abolish the law, but that the law be fulfilled. See, Christ himself is an embodiment of the law. The law is fulfilled in him. If you study carefully the Ten Commandments, you will discover that the Ten Commandments is actually a person. It is Christ. It represents the life in Christ. See, it is summarized in love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now this thing is fulfilled only in that man called Christ. Only as we walk in Christ consciousness can the law ever be fulfilled. Now, if you walk in Christ consciousness, your neighbor is yourself. There's no me, there's no you, there's only one. There's only one invisible being who fills all in all, and that invisible being is one, is God. That is the secret of the faith. God is one. Praise God. And if you want to recognize, if you want to know God, if you want to realize God, we must first of all recognize that we are one. All of us are one. So we are one body. It's in that one body that the law is fulfilled. See it? But when we step out of that body and begin to walk in the flesh, then all kind of unrighteousness, lawlessness comes into being. There is no way a man walking in the flesh can be subject to the law of God. It's not possible. Praise God. So you see, any man that says that he does not have sin lies. See, because we all have walked in the flesh one way or the other. And from time to time, you find yourself, you know, deviating one way or another in the flesh. That is the flesh. See, but we are called today to walk in the truth, to exercise ourselves in the truth, to walk in the revelation truth. And as we walk in the revelation truth, which is love, which is brotherhood, oneness, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There is a lifting up in us. There is the power of the resurrection working in us. The lifting up from the sensation or that false sensation that we are terrestrial carnal beings. Praise God. That is the power of God working in us, lifting up day and night, raising us up from that sensation of being, you know, something independent of Christ. See, the blood of Jesus, for, you know, cleanses us from all righteousness. See it? And when we walk in the revelation of light, the darkness is passing now. Now the darkness is that, how do I put it, our individual lives and beliefs. See, everybody has their own beliefs. Oh, I believe it is this way. See, I believe it's this way. No, we must do it that way. Look, the only way to do it is love. See, the only way to do it is love. The revelation of Christ and the mysteries of the kingdom will only bring you back to love. It will only bring you back to oneness. The revelation of Christ will only reunite us back into that one body, which is the body of God. That is what the revelation of Christ does. That's why Paul is careful to say that where there is prophecy, it will cease. Where you have tongues, they will all be things of the past. So all these things will pass away, but that overall picture, the picture of it all at the end, is perfect love, oneness, unfeigned love, unfeigned oneness. We are one. We are brethren. Praise God. We are brethren. That is the end of the revelation of it all. That we are one in God. One indivisible body. Praise God. If you have this revelation, you will lay aside all these arguments that we've had in our humanity. See, this group believes it this way. Oh, this one believes it that way. There's nothing to believe except that we are one. And now is the time to believe. Now is the time to have a revelation of our oneness in God and to walk in that oneness. Praise God. when we ascend in revelation truth, when we ascend in Christ, our ascension is that we have become fused in one body. What is Christ? How lovely it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. That is where the anointing is found. That is where the anointing and the of joy and gladness. That is where the power is found. That is where the health is found. In love. Praise God. Hallelujah. When Daniel saw a revelation of Christ in the book of Daniel, the Bible says he had a voice that spoke like a crowd. Now that was one man, but the voice was like the voice of many waters roaring. We talked of a crowd, peoples that formed that one man, meaning they are all fitted together in love. Praise God. When we have love, we do not see that of the fault in our brethren. When we have love, we do not go out searching for faults, mistakes that people make. You overlook all these things with that fatherly love. And your heart is always geared towards edifying the brethren, not to seek out faults in brethren. Praise God. Do you know that when the Bible, when you talk of the Holy Spirit, do you know that we all, in the final state, we are all that one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is here simply to edify us. The Holy Spirit is not here to condemn any man. The Holy Spirit is not here to seek out your faults. You see, a lot of these places in Africa, in certain churches, they thrive on feeding their flock with condemnation. They thrive, you know, by trying to, you know, point out faults in people so that these people come to them for some kind of cover. But the Holy Ghost does not do that. The Holy Ghost simply edifies you in love. It builds you up in the revelation of Christ in you. It builds you up in the perfection of God. The Holy Ghost builds you up in the love of God. It reveals the true God in you and the true God to you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Somebody said, but what about the sin of the Holy Ghost? Now look, the Holy Ghost does not turn his back on anybody. See, the Holy Ghost is that invisible voice, anointing of God, seeking to edify us and bring us back into God. See, now when a man turns his back on that kind of, on the love of God, you simply shut the door for yourself. How can you possibly enter into the favor of God when you reject the love of God or the ministration of love that comes from the Holy Ghost? That's what he's saying. When you turn your back on the grace of God, when you turn your back, you simply turn your back on that open door towards God's paradise. Simple. So, but when you, if you come to your senses and you turn your back again to listen to it, it is always there. It never, never, ever condemns. It never, ever seeks to see any man suffer. It never rejoices in evil. Oh, praise God. So we have to get to know the mind of God. See, meditate on the cross. Look onto that bronze serpent and meditate on it daily, so that you don't let these serpents, you know, around you, these serpent feelings and serpent sensations, to rob you of the joy of your salvation, so that they do not inject you with that death-giving venom and cause you to sway away from the faith. It doesn't knock you out cold. See, but meditate daily on this revelation and you will discover that God never leaves you. He's there encouraging you, speaking day and night, encouraging you, seeking to open doors, get you out of your financial messes, get you out of the mess that you committed for yourself. Even in the days of old, when the children of Israel transgressed against God, what happened? They had all the curses, the locusts consuming their harvest. They had the enemies defeating them, and many, many evils befell them when they turned their backs on God. But when they turned back to God, they always had open heavens, and the blessings were always there for them. When King Solomon opened the temple of God, when he dedicated the temple of God, he says, if you people, your people that call, who are called by your name, sin against you and turn against you, and as a result suffer the consequences of their sin, if they remember and they turn back to you and pray towards your holy temple, give ear to them. Praise God. God never shuts the door on any man. Only if we can just believe and allow the guidance of the Spirit daily, we will discover a Father of love. We will discover a Father who never ever seeks to destroy us. See, when we sin, when we go out and do unlawful things, unrighteous works, we suffer the consequence of sin already. That guilty conscience, that sense of condemnation, you give door to the devil, you give door to the condemner, the accuser, to come in to accuse you, and you suffer the consequences thereof. God does not punish you. See, but if we can stir up ourselves and be firm, hallelujah, be firm in the faith, hallelujah, be strong in the faith of our Lord Jesus. Stand firm in the revelation of this love. Stand firm in the revelation of this grace. Continue in it. See, Paul says that in him we have forgiveness of sins. See, in him we have what? Forgiveness of sins. It's continuous. He's not saying that in him he forgave us our sins. It's continuous. In him we have forgiveness of sins. See, he took up the body of the flesh body. Jesus Christ took up the flesh body, and he knows. God knows the weakness of the flesh. He recognizes the downcomings. See it. He recognizes these things that men suffer, and is here as a faithful priest, high priest, to intercede for us, to lead us patiently, see it, to guide us as a caring shepherd into the promised land, through that open gate, because that gate is open for every man. Every man, no matter where you find yourself, the gate is open today. Hallelujah. To enter into the glory of God and to be partakers of the totality of God's glory. It's a free gift of God so that no man can boast. See, when you begin to recognize these things, you can't boast. When you begin to recognize these things, you cannot look down on your brethren. When you begin to recognize grace as our foundation, when you begin to recognize the power of the blood of Jesus, the blood that continuously speaks on our behalf, interceding for us before the throne, when we begin to recognize and meditate on these words, hallelujah, we will stand firm, knowing that we are forgiven. Stir up ourselves, because we are not those who go back, who draw back onto perdition, but we are those who walk on. We carry on to know the Lord. We carry on to inherit the promise of the totality of the life of God. Praise God. So when we stumble along the line, when problems beset us, look unto the Lord. See it. Look unto the love of God. Look unto the grace of God. That is the grace that will sustain you throughout eternity. Hallelujah. That is the grace that will sustain you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. I'll read something with you. I just said this in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood and even the forgiveness of sins. See, it's a continuous process in him. See, as you walk in the light as he is in the light, confessing Christ. See it. Walk in the revelation by faith, confessing Christ. See it. You are covered. You are forgiven. You are perfect. See, now let us progress in him. Let us tear up ourselves, loving one another through love, staying ourselves in love, provoking ourselves in love. Hallelujah. Love that knows no confines, no boundaries. See, love that is beyond, you know, family members, that is beyond nations, tongues. Love. Hallelujah. For those who are redeemed in Christ are from all the nations of the earth, from diverse tongues, cultures and beliefs. They all come back in one in God, speaking in one accord. Hallelujah. In Christ there is nothing like Buddha, Muslim, Christian, nothing like that. There is only one. That is him who inhabits in eternity. Hallelujah. You see, I just decided to give this message today so that we can keep ourselves in the faith. See, continuity in the faith. See, not letting ourselves grow cold because of the pressures around us. Economic pressures, job pressures, family pressures. A child is sick. A brother is sick. My wife is sick. My husband is sick. See, let us keep ourselves in the love of God. See, like a stream, the love of God will flow through us and bring healing to those of us, to those people around us who have need. See, it will bring healing to a father who is hurt. It will bring healing to a mother who is hurt. See, it will bring healing to a child who is sick. It will bring healing to a brother out there who is suffering from guilt and condemnation. Hallelujah. Let us tear up ourselves, brethren, and move on to know the Lord. God keep you in his love. Amen.
Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. The golden crown that makes a man a king. Once on a high and windy hill, in the morning mist, two lovers kissed, and the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendored thing. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendid.